Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Having concluded our study of 1 Corinthians on the Beacon Broadcast yesterday, it seemed wise to move to 2 Corinthians for our next study, because we already have the situation in mind. The church at Corinth has been in view for the last several months now on the Beacon Broadcast, and many of the background details and information that help us to understand any portion of Scripture will already be in place for 2 Corinthians, since we have recently completed 1 Corinthians. And so that's where we're going, right out of 1 Corinthians and into 2 Corinthians. Now, one of the interesting things about 2 Corinthians is it probably was not the second epistle that Paul wrote to Corinth. It's the second one that we have in our Bible. It's the second one that the Holy Spirit of God saw fit to include in the New Testament canon, but it is surely, at the very least, the third Corinthian epistle, according to the ones that Paul wrote, and very possibly the fourth. But since God did not choose to include the others, we see references to them, but we have no way of knowing much of anything about their contents, and of course we certainly can't study them, but it's good to know that they're there. And when there are passing references to them, it's important for us to recognize what is being talked about, because otherwise we will think the information has to do, say, with 1 Corinthians, when it has to do with an epistle that was written by Paul between 1 and 2 Corinthians. It's very likely that what we call 1 Corinthians was actually the second epistle, and what we call 2 Corinthians was likely the fourth epistle. But be that as may, we are going to study the 2 Corinthian epistle that is found in the New Testament, because that's the one the Holy Spirit has given to us. So I pause now to welcome you to this Friday, August 19 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and thank you for the financial help that some of our radio listeners provide for us in order to continue teaching God's Word on this station. The writing of 2 Corinthians followed the writing of 1 Corinthians by only a few months. It was written around 57 or AD 57, and Paul was in Macedonia when he wrote 2 Corinthians. He was in Ephesus when he wrote 1 Corinthians. Furthermore, as Paul writes 2 Corinthians, Timothy is now with Paul, but when he wrote 1 Corinthians, Timothy was out on an assignment, traveling for the work of the gospel by the direction of the Apostle Paul. But now they have joined together, and Timothy is at his side. Paul traveled from Ephesus north to Troas. You'll have to take a look at a map to get all this in mind. And then across to Macedonia. The largest city was Philippi, and that, of course, is exactly the route he took on his second missionary journey that landed him in Macedonia and the establishment of the Church of Philippi. So he has traveled that same route once again as he is revisiting churches in Troas, in Philippi, and perhaps in other cities of Macedonia. And Paul has received from Titus information regarding the response of the Corinthians to his, what we call, his first epistle. That was important to him. There were some difficult things in that letter, as you know. There were some pretty strong rebukes. There were some very demanding commandments. There were some relationship issues that needed to be addressed. And so Paul needed to know how they had responded to that epistle so that he would know how to conduct himself in relationship to the church. And so now, realizing that there has been a favorable reception, he recognizes that his ministry to Corinth could very well be an effective ministry, whereas if they were hostile to him, it perhaps would be a waste of time, and he would better use his time to go someplace else. But now he knows that his ministry there will be received and will be effective. And there are some things that require his personal presence more than his distant letter writing. But nevertheless, he writes the second Corinthian epistle to prepare for another visit. It opens with a customary salutation. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, there's Timothy with him, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in all Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In the customary salutation, we have the name of the author, namely Paul. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. There were other apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, but Paul is an apostle of Christ who founded the church at Corinth and has a very special place for them. Furthermore, that term apostle is used not just of apostles of Jesus Christ, as Paul is using it here when he says Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. That tells us what kind of an apostle he was, because the word apostle simply means an authorized messenger. And we have some references in the Bible to apostles who were apostles of a church. If a church sent a representative, an authorized messenger from the church, that person could very well be called an apostle, but he would not be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Because an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the requirements that were given in Acts chapter 1, when there was a discussion about replacing Judas, who of course turned out to be a traitor, had defected from the band of apostles and had committed suicide. And there we read of the qualifications for those who can be considered for this office, and they are, number one, they must be an eyewitness of the resurrection, and they need to have been taught by Jesus Christ himself. And so, being an eyewitness of the resurrection, their testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is very important. Furthermore, they need to have the assurance that their authority comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only the apostle himself needs to have that assurance, but those that he's ministering to need to have that assurance. Here is somebody who identifies himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Is he? Well, there are ways to know. He had to be an eyewitness of the resurrection. Tell me about that. What did you see? How did you witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ? He had to have been taught by the Lord Jesus Christ personally. Tell me about that. Tell us about that, so that we can hear your firsthand account of the teaching that you received from Jesus Christ. And so that's important. And of course, Paul tells us that he was an apostle who was born out of due season. And that seems to be a reference to the fact that his qualifications for an apostle came at a strange time. They came actually when Jesus Christ had already ascended back to heaven. So how would it be possible for Paul to be an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the qualifications that I just told you from Acts chapter 1. And the answer to that question can be found in the three accounts of Paul's conversion on the Damascus Road. And there the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven appeared personally to Paul. Paul saw him, Paul heard his voice, and there's evidence that he was trained by Christ over a period of time. And he makes it very clear, dogmatically clear, adamantly clear, that the word that he preached came not from other men, but came directly from Jesus Christ. He particularly defends that reality in the Galatian epistle, where his credentials as an apostle were being attacked. And he makes it very clear that I am an apostle of Christ equal to the other apostles. I am as much an apostle as Peter. I am as much an apostle as John. They witnessed Christ's resurrection before Christ ascended back to heaven. I witnessed Christ's resurrection, or maybe I should put it this way, I saw the resurrected Christ after he was in heaven. That's the difference. They saw the resurrected Christ while he was still upon the earth before he ascended back to heaven, but after his crucifixion, of course. I saw the ascended, glorified, resurrected Christ in heaven, after he was ascended to heaven. I say the glorified ascended Christ because, of course, it's important that Paul saw him in his body. He had a bodily resurrection, but it was his glorified body, but it was the glorified body that the other apostles saw also when they saw Jesus after the resurrection. They saw him in his glorified body upon earth. Paul saw him in his glorified body in heaven. So the author is Paul, and Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ. He has with him, as we've already pointed out, his associate Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Timothy, as you study all of the references to him in Acts and in Paul's epistles, turns out to be Paul's most trusted partner. Why? Well, because he proved himself trustworthy over a long period of time and never betrayed that trust, never turned away. Paul had some others that he thought were faithful men who disappointed him in the passing of time, but not Timothy. Timothy continued to be faithful, persevering, trustworthy, hardworking, dependable, honest. He was Paul's most trusted partner. He seemed to have Paul's heart and passion in his own life, in his own mind, more than nearly any other person. He was most like Paul in his commitment to Christ, in his commitment to the work of the gospel, in his commitment to the churches that Paul had established. He was a true partner in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's called here Paul's brother. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Timothy is not called an assistant apostle because he's not. He is a partner of an apostle. There's no evidence that apostleship could be passed on to someone else. Paul couldn't transfer his apostleship to Timothy. Paul couldn't authorize Timothy to be an apostle, but he certainly could recommend him as a faithful gospel worker, and that, in fact, is what Paul did. We'll take it up on the broadcast Monday. Join me then. Until then, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.